I ask for your prayers this evening as I try to share with you this thought the Lord gave me. First of all, I'd like to say how I appreciate you being here this evening, how I appreciate you putting forth the effort to be in service. I have found myself several times in the last, I guess, year and a half now to 2 years since I've felt the Lord calling me to the ministry, asking the Lord what He would have me to share with the congregation, or what does the congregation need. That's kind of how I've worded it as I approach Him. He is faithful to answer, maybe not as quick as I want Him to sometimes, maybe not in the way I anticipated He would. But I found myself a little while back asking the Lord, what did the congregation need? And I didn't get an answer in that sense. But I felt like the Lord said, I'll give you something that you need. So I feel like this little burden that I have this evening is something the Lord showed me that He wanted me to work on and to improve upon. And it kind of just progressed from there. And I felt that He would be pleased if I would share that with you, and maybe you can receive encouragement from it as well. First, I'd like to start with a scripture in Deuteronomy 13 and 4. Deuteronomy 13 and 4 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him." I hope and pray tonight I hope you can answer that with an assurance that you are doing that. I hope I can answer that with an assurance that I'm doing that. I will say to you that I believe I'm giving it my best effort. I'm sure there's much to be improved upon. But ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him. I hope that is our desire tonight of each one here. I hope we have come to the place in life that we can look back and see where we have come from. And we have come to the place where God has called us to that place. And we can say, I'm cleaving unto God. I'm serving God. I'm doing what He wants me to do. I hope and pray that you could raise your hand and say amen to that and testify to that. How are we to serve? I'm serving God. I will testify to that. But how am I to serve? Well, there's many ways to serve. Many ways to serve. We should serve with humility. We should serve with out of love. We should, it's knowing the will of the Lord and doing to the best of our ability to accomplish His plan, to accomplish His will, going where He wants me to go, serving Him out of such love, such humility, and just putting myself before Him, saying, Lord, here I am, what do You want me to do? Several ways to serve. But I'd like to focus on one thing this evening and kind of just focus on one little topic. Wondering about serving with the right attitude. Serving the Lord with happiness, doing it with a smile, serving the Lord with gladness. Psalms 100 is the scripture I read. when this thought came to me. I'd like to read that passage. It's just a few verses there, Psalms 100. Very familiar scripture says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." If I were to title this little message tonight, I've been back and forth on my title. I would title it "Serving the Lord with Gladness / Joy." And the reason I say I've been back and forth is because I know it's debatable that there is a difference between happiness and joy. I've been on some of those discussions, and there is a difference. But if you will allow me to try to group them together this evening and take in thanksgiving, joy, happiness, all those things that kind of, that's, if you understand what I'm saying, if we can just kind of group those together and think about those as a whole. Serving with gladness and joy. It says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. As has been mentioned many, many times, there are many people from different walks of life. Face different things, go through these trials, hardships. The saints of God, we face the same. We face the same. We face some difficult things in life. But we, as children of God, are a very, very blessed people. Everyone is blessed. Everyone on the face of this earth is a blessed people. But I believe there is an exception to us here this evening. I believe there is an exception to a child of God. If you have come to that place in life where you have given your heart and you can, and you know and you can claim that you are His child and you are His sheep and He is your shepherd, I believe we have an advantage over others in this world. We have no excuse to not serve the Lord with joy and gladness. We have no excuse as a child of God to be walking around with doom and gloom written all over our face, with frowns on our face. God has done too much for us. He has provided too many things to us, literal things, physical things, for us to walk around with a negative type, down in the dumps type attitude and disposition. I want to be... I have felt that there have been times in my life when I'll be going through something and it is so easy for me, for my countenance, to take on what my brain is going through. And I'm afraid, and I know it's true, but my wife has let me know that it's true, that maybe I'm not the happiest, or I might not be... I can seem very grumpy at times, maybe, just depending on the circumstances, depending on the situations I am. And I think that's people who know me. How does that carry over into the workplace, if I'm going through things, what do people see in my life? Am I living my life in such a way that I am producing, or can people see joy, excitement, happiness coming forth from me, from the way I live, or am I letting those things around me consume me and overtake the joy that God intended for me to have? So Lord, help me to be able to get a hold of joy, of happiness. And I'm not talking about a quick rise up in emotion. I'm not talking about I hear a song and it makes me feel all bubbly inside and I get excited and I want to jump up and down and shout. I'm not talking about putting on I'm going through something difficult, but yet I'm going to put on a big fake smile or a big cheesy grin. Not something just on the surface. Not just a feel good. But something that can come from the very depths of my heart. Something that is heartfelt. Something that is inside of me. Something that fills my life and that means so much to me. And it means so much to me that it can't help but come out of my life. And I want to let those around me be part of that and experience that and let them know what is in my life that makes me feel this way. Lord, help us to be able to find that, to get a hold of that. Again, not something that's just on the surface. Not something that is just temporary. Not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. But something that will last. So, where does true joy and happiness come from? Well, there are many times I can do something and I can get happy about it. It doesn't last. It's temporary. True joy and happiness isn't, when we talk of spiritual things and of things of God, is, you know, I remember when I was younger, you go to camp meeting, I mean, you always had your favorite preachers. Somebody you wanted to hear preach. Man, I just like the way he jumps up and down in the pulpit, or I like the way he reads Scripture, or whatever it is. Happiness is not going to camp meeting and your favorite preacher getting up. You know, it's not. I mean, hey, I might get excited that maybe my favorite preacher's preaching today. But that's not something I can go home and live off of. True happiness is not coming to Sunday morning service and expecting your pastor to dish you out some on your plate. That's not where happiness comes from. Happiness, true joy and true happiness is not something that we're going to be able to manufacture. Something that we're going to be able to work up. I remember as a child hearing, and I'm sure most of you have heard of it, little stories from Adventures in Odyssey. And I remember one that was called Count It All Joy. And it was about a little girl who saw the grumpier side of life, I guess you could say. And she had a friend that was always just seemed cheerful and bubbly. And she wanted part of that. When she asked, well, how do I do it? They said, well, when you come to something difficult in life, just say, count it all joy. Count it all joy. And so she went over the next several days just saying, count it all joy. And she found it didn't get her anywhere. It didn't work. You know, There are spirits that can be worked up. That's not what I'm referring to this evening. I'm not talking about something that can be worked up and that we can just, oh, I feel good about this and let me raise my hand because everybody else is raising their hand. That's not what I'm speaking of this evening. But something, again, that comes from the depths of my heart. Where does that come from? Where does true joy and happiness come from? I would say that true happiness and true joy has to be God-given. It has to come from God Himself. It has to come, and if you're going to get that from God, you're going to have to know who God is, know who God was, know what God can do, know what He's going to continue to do. Knowing and understanding and having some depth of understanding what God has done for me in my life. And when I can come to that realization, when I can know and understand and realize what He has done for me in my life spiritually, it can do nothing other, or it should do nothing other than produce joy and gratitude and thanksgiving. You read through Psalms. We just read this passage in Psalms. You read through Psalms. And I tell you, you don't have to go very far before you see something about how we should praise the Lord, about being joyful, about being thankful. Now, I know there were a couple authors in Psalms. I'm going to contribute most of them to David. And I look just about on every page, if you flip through your Bible, there's something about being joyful. And I think about that. David had a lot to say. David had his hardships. David had some hard times. David did some wicked things. But David also knew God. He knew what God helped him with when he was a young lad. He knew how faithful God was. David got it. He was able to get something from the Lord. He realized what the Lord was to him. And he got it. He expressed that. He penned that down for us to read. Thank the Lord. Be joyful. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Lord, help me to know and to realize what You have done for me. Help me to be able to see, to understand, to know what it means. Help me to be able to get it like David got it. So what has the Lord done for us? Well, in the short answer, He has saved my soul. He has saved your soul. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. What has the Lord done for us? I read this passage of Scripture. And I had tears flowing from my eyes. As we read this, put yourself in this place in these first few Scriptures. And then it goes on to say what God has done for us. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. And you He hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, that's where we all were. That's where we all have been at one time. Walking with those around us in the world, going after desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, doing those things that everybody in the world has done. Thank the Lord for what He has done, for the plan of salvation, and where He has brought us from. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is what I hope we can come to the point of our lives that we can see and that we can know and we can understand. If it were not for the Lord in my life and in your lives, we would be on our way tonight to a devil's hell. That's fact. This is where we all were. But this is what God has done for us. Rich in mercy, He has quickened us together with Christ. He has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places. This alone, if you can testify to this, this alone should bring. This is what we should be rejoicing over. This is what we should be able to raise our hands to and say, thank the Lord. This is where joy comes from. Knowing where I was at, where I come from, and where the Lord has placed me now. And knowing that I am His sheep and He is my shepherd. Knowing that from death to life, He lifted me. I want you to feel it like I feel it. Y'all, we serve a loving God. We serve a great God. We serve a God that has paved the way to save our souls from torment, to save our souls from destruction. If that doesn't make you bubble in your heart with excitement, if that does not make your cup run over with joy, with all those wonderful feelings, then I'm going to say there is nothing else. There is nothing else that can give you the feeling that you can get from knowing and realizing what this means. I'm not talking about an emotion, as I said, that's here today and gone tomorrow. I'm talking about having something so deep and grounded in my life. Having a hold of something so deep that I can't do nothing but express it and let it be known what the Lord has done for me in my life. I'm not saying we have to come to service and hoop and holler and raise our hands. But the Lord wants to hear from us. I need to hear from you. You need to hear from me. The Scripture says, serve the Lord with gladness. It encourages me to hear you encouraged. It encourages me to see you joyful. Lord, help us to serve with joy, a real joy, a real passion, a real gladness in my heart. We sang a song this morning in service. Mighty to save and mighty to keep. I want to read that chorus. That song says, glory to God, I know I'm saved. This is a blessing that I have craved. Now I am happy. I'm joyful in glory, reigning o'er the world by sin depraved. The blessing that I have craved. There's a scripture that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to, Lord, help me see this, know this, understand this, realize this, that I can taste it. That I can't contain it. That it has to come out. No, it doesn't have to come out at the top of me shouting at the top of my lungs. It doesn't have to come out with both hands in the air and me jumping up and down at my bench. But I'm telling you, it can come out in a testimony. It can come out in calling a song. It can come out in praying a prayer and thanking the Lord for what He's done on Wednesday night. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serving the Lord with joy. I remember as a child being here in service and seeing older saints. Now I know children's perceptions are maybe not always accurate. But I remember just a young child. I couldn't have been more than 4, 5, 6 years old. And again, I know children's perceptions are not always accurate. But I remember walking into service and there just being certain individuals that I was scared of. I'm not going to mention names, of course, but they just looked like they were mad at the world. Maybe that's just the way they were. Just a scowl on their face. Someone might be tall, just appear to be kind of domineering. And I just remember as a child, I stayed away from those people, for those certain individuals, as much as I could. I had a fear of being around them. They just seemed like grumpy old people to me. And I thought, you know, Lord help me. I'm not white-headed yet. I'm not old. But there's a lot of little children. Lord, help me. Help me to have that joy in my life, that it affects how my face reveals that, or how I show that. Help there to be such a joy in my life that it affects my actions, that it affects my conversations with my family, with my brothers and sisters. Help it to affect my actions, that I don't scare off the little children because I look like a grumpy old man. But help me to be someone that somebody enjoys being around, that I have that countenance about myself, that I can have your confidence, that you can share something with me and that we can share with each other. Have you ever went to go visit someone and you have just dreaded that visit? I have. Maybe you have it. Maybe that's the wrong way to look at it. I have. I've had in my mind that I need to go visit a certain individual. You know, there's always those individuals that you hear the testimonies. I went and visited so-and-so, and I left with more encouraged than when I went. And that is. I can testify that that's happened many times. But I've also had it work the other way around, where I went to visit someone, and I hated the whole drive there. And I thought, Lord, help this to get over with as quick as possible. I understand people getting circumstances and situations. It's hard. It's hard to go through some things in life and keep that joy and keep that countenance. But folks, really? Brother Michael gave a testimony the other night. Help me to what in my infirmity? What'd Paul say? To joy in my infirmities. Lord, help us that whatever we go through, whatever we face, that I will still have something inside that can overcome and overpower those emotions or those fillings or those things that want to be displayed on my face from the natural things and the physical things that I'm going through. Help me to be the type of person that when I get old and I get down, I can't get out, that I will have been that person, that I will have exhibited that joy and that gladness, that I'll have those that will desire to come see and that can still come to me and maybe be encouraged. Not that I can encourage, but you understand what I'm saying. Lord, help us to serve with joy. So a question, am I serving the Lord? How am I serving the Lord? Does my life reflect what God has done for me? And those around me, can others see? Can others tell that I have something? That I have something special? That I'm set apart? Can others tell that by my actions, by my words, can they tell, do they realize how much my Lord, my Savior, do they know how much that means to me? Lord, help us to have it so abundantly that it has to come out, that others can feel it as we feel it, that others can be blessed by it, that others can be encouraged by it. Already mentioned just a few specifics that, folks, if we have come to this place and we know what God has done for us and we realize this, the Lord should be blessing us. He should. And if we're getting blessed, we have something to share. And I'm doing this out of love. Come with something to share. Come to services with a song in your heart. Come with a scripture on your heart. Let me know, let others know what the Lord has done for you. I want to be an example. I want my life, I want others to be encouraged. I want to help others. I want others to be able to look at the conduct of my life and to see what a joy it is or how much I'm enjoying serving the Lord. I don't want to do it for show. You know, I've been a very emotional person, especially my wife and my children know, I've testified this to them. I've been a person that has been very, very affected by music. Growing up through my teenage years, the way a song could just get me, and I could feel the emotion in the song. And I believe there was a point in my life that the Lord gave me deliverance from some of those things. But then that has also carried over into, and I even today have to be careful about how much I let my emotions show in singing. Because loud, beautiful singing, harmonizing voices, that is an uprise in my emotions for me. And I have to be careful and make sure that it's coming from the right place. I want that to come from the right place. So no, I don't, not that we want to do anything for show. Not that I want to raise my hand in service so everybody can see me raising my hand in service. But that I can be in a place that if I'm singing a song, that if it means so much to me and I realize what that song is saying, and I can relate to the words in this song, that I can raise my hand in service. Or if I hear the minister say something that I can agree with, or something that, wow, amen. It's okay. It's okay to be vocal, to let the Lord know. Let the Lord know. Not those around us, but Lord, this, thank you, Lord. this means something to me. Thank you, Lord, for letting this be said. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your dealings. Thank you for this song. If we're serving the Lord and just doing it, going through the motions, we come to service just because if we didn't come to service, we might get a funny look, or we might think people might think of us, or what's wrong with them. If we are doing it just out of because I think I need to do it, we can ride high on emotions. But it won't last. You will find that it'll wear you out. An up and a down, an up and a down. It will wear you out. Lord, help us to be able to get a hold of something where it's because I realize how much He loves me and how much I love Him and how much I want to serve Him. That's where my joy, that's where I want my joy to stem from. That's where I want my joy. That's what I want the foundation of my joy to be, is what the Lord has done for me in my life. Now, I understand that there are things people experience that are real life things. We have, in the medical profession, we have put a name to depression. We have put a name to anxiety, accusations. And I understand we cannot go through life and just put on, as I said earlier, a big fake smile and act like everything is okay and that everything's fine and nothing's affected me and I'm okay. I understand that. I understand that people do face some real severe hurt in life, some real dark places. I will say that if you have found yourself, or if you do find yourself in that place, that there is one who can bring you out of that place. There is one. Those are things that we can be healed from. We can be healed from depression. We can be healed from anxiety. We can be healed and delivered from accusations. And whatever else there is negative going on around us that would cause us to have emotional lows, we can be delivered from those things. And once we're delivered, then we can begin to experience real joy, real happiness from our heart. I know the Christian life is, for lack of better words, is demanding. It is. And maybe that's not the right word, but I know in my life there's been some difficult places. The Lord requires us to do things that aren't necessarily always comfortable. He requires ministers overseas. There's things in life the Lord is going to require us to do that at times are going to cross the flesh. The service to the Lord can be challenging. Maybe that's a better word. It can be challenging. It can be tough at times. I can't stand here and tell you it's not. But our dedication and our service to the Lord and our living for Him was not meant to be done with a doom and gloom attitude. It wasn't meant to be done with a frown. It wasn't meant to be done that the children of God looks like they've been sucking on lemons all day. It wasn't meant for that. We were meant to serve the Lord with gladness. Not trying to cover up everything that I got going on at home and making everybody around me think that nothing's wrong with me, I'm okay, everything's great in my life, I'm happy and carefree. No. We all have things we're going to face. There are difficult places in life. But we can receive such a deep joy, a deep happiness from the Lord that will help us, or that we will still be seen through the midst of all those difficult things that we're going to face. We can still exhibit a true joy. Emotions will fall, but a true joy will still shine through. Lord, help me not to let those things that I face in my life, those difficult places that I go through in my life, Lord, help me not to go around and let those show on my face. Help me to learn how to deal with those things. Lord, give me the understanding. Help me through those places. Help me to know how to deal with those. But Lord, above all, help me to be able to show others around me. Help me to be grateful for what You've done for me, that I can let those around me know what a joy it is for me to serve the Lord, serving with gladness, serving with joy. Thank You for being here tonight. I will ask You to please continue to remember me in Your prayers. I want to be with the Lord, have me to be, and I want to be faithful. Y'all pray for me.